Did you make it through the holiday? Oh, come on, just honk your horn if you made it through. All right, that's awesome. Is it a good day to be alive? I'll tell you, I'm enjoying this day. Absolutely. So I need to bring to your attention, Christmas has come and passed. And my hope is that you had a wonderful day filled with the all of God's love, grace, and mercy that has been made available to you through the birth of His Son. And that over the holiday, you've taken the time to share that truth with family and friends. Did you do that one? Please respond. All right, there's one or two. You know, I think what makes Christmas stand out above all other holidays is the anticipation in the preparation of the event. Would you agree? Okay, nobody cares? That's wonderful. I love to prepare for Christmas. Think about it. New Year's Day is just a couple days away. But when does the countdown start? I mean, for some, it's day of when they get out of bed. For others, it's a couple hours before the ball drops. But for most of us, it's not within 30 seconds of the end of the year, if at all. Christmas really is truly special. I think because of the anticipation leading up to it. The bad thing about anticipation is it ends. Would you agree? Yeah. I mean, would you agree? You get up, you watch the kids, they unwrap their presents, you make your phone calls to those far away, you eat that special 8-course meal, try to take your nap while everybody's yelling at their favorite football team, and then you go to bed. And the next day, you wake up and, well, it's the next day. So here we are, the day after Christmas. And the question is, after Christmas, what now? Let's look to God's Word and see what it has to say about this. Matthew 2, 13 through 15 is an obscure passage, but it tells of an event that took place sometime after Jesus' birth. We read, "When they had gone away, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we're going to set apart to work, focus on your word. I pray that we would be focused on you and that these words that are shared will make a marked difference in our lives, how we look at life, and most importantly, how we look at you. Go before us now as we enter into this time of learning more about you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. More than likely, everybody here this morning is familiar with the Christmas story. I mean, it begins with a virgin being told that she is with child. And then we see the event of having to break the news to her family and to her fiancé. And then the event of followed up by the events leading up to Joseph's revelation that this truly was of God and that he was to embrace the situation. And of course, then their trip to Bethlehem that was initiated by the king for the sole purpose to find out who each and every child was to protect his kingdom so that he wouldn't suffer loss. We know that while they were there, they had to resort to a barn and a manger for the birth of Jesus. And we know the shepherds came and retold the angel announcement. All so familiar. Matthew 2 tells of what to most would seem like a strange visit. Magi from the east. But let's be honest, though, after being visited by angels, how strange would that be? Their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh set into play a series of events that would put this young family on the move again. As you read Matthew 2, you find that Herod was now letting his fear of losing power take over. He was killing off every child under the age of 2, which he knew because of the census, if you're familiar with the story. And here at verse 13, we're told that an angel of the Lord once again appears to Joseph. And he told him, get up. Can you imagine that? I mean, imagine this young couple after all the events leading up to Christ's birth. And just as they thought things were getting back to normal and they could just rest and settle down, an angel says to him, get up. We can only imagine that Joseph asked, what now? And then he got the answer. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. Now, by looking at these two believers, we can understand, we can imagine that they were acquainted with listening for God. Matthew 2:13 said, when the angel had gone, that's the Magi, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. It would appear that listening for God was second nature. This is what we need to pay attention to. We all understand that it's important to listen to God. But unless we realize that He's speaking to us, reveals the problem of hearing from God. So first we need to listen for God. It's way easy to not hear from God when we get caught up in the distractions, all the noise that's around us. The fact that we need to train ourselves to listen for God because it's so easy to be distracted. After lunch today, before you come back for our Christmas Eve reboot this evening, I would challenge you to read 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. See for yourself how many times the what now question could be plugged in. Let me tease you with verses 9 through 13. The word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Would you agree that this would be a good place to insert the question, what now? The Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Recognize God was not in the obvious things, the clamor, all the things that vie for our attention, but in what? A small whisper. The still, small voice. You have to learn to train your ears to hear that still, small voice. If not, you're very likely to miss it in the midst of the storms and the difficult circumstances life throws our way. This bids the question, are you listening? After Christmas, especially as we enter into the new year, we need to be listening for God's still small voice. As we read Matthew 2, Joseph found himself traveling on another road, fleeing with his wife for the life of their child. I'm sure Mary and Joseph were looking forward to a time to just breathe. And at this point, it wasn't going to happen. This is a reminder to us that we should expect obstacles on this journey we call life. There are going to be speed bumps in the road we travel. We're going to have to detour at times. Things will not always go the way we expect them to. It's been said, to make it through life, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. So what's your main thing? What's your priority in life? Is your main thing God? His kingdom? His will being lived out in your life? You know, if we go further in that inspection, what is your obstacle or obstacles keeping you from being all God intends you to be and doing all the things God intends for you to do? Do you think, after the ordeal they had in Bethlehem, once Joseph got Mary and Jesus home and settled in, one of the things Joseph wanted to do was escape in the night out of fear of death? More than likely not. At the very least, I'm thinking he had a sense of getting back to life as they knew it, only to have the next moment God say, "Hey, Joe, get up and go." For Joseph, being set in his own way would never work. Only possessing the ability to bend would keep him from breaking. From the little bit we know about Joseph, one thing is for sure. He had to be flexible. When we choose to be on mission for God, it's important to be flexible and pray a lot. Why? Because you learn to expect anything and everything can change in a moment's notice. So how flexible are you? Or maybe you're stuck in your own ways and traditions, keeping the Spirit of God from working in and through your life. We must be flexible to take the next step and follow His leading. One way to do this is to rely on God's Word. This verse in Matthew 2:15 quotes Hosea 11:1. "And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Time and time again, we read that phrase in relation to Christ, how and where he was born, how and where he lived, how and where he died. These are all found in the prophecies found in the Word of God, which tells us either a lot of coincidences took place throughout the Bible, or every event was a specific part of God's perfect plan. I choose to believe the latter. You see, since the first words were penned in this book, one thing has never changed, and that is the truth of God's Word. In fact, listen to what God's Word says in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, we read, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God endures forever." And then all the way into the New Testament in 1 Peter 1:24-25. "All the people are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall. But the Word of the Lord, But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. The word of God, since its beginning, has proved to be faithful, correct, and accurate. It has not and will not lead us in the wrong direction. When we ask the question, what now? God's word will never fail us. Christmas is come and gone for this year. So, what now? I think it's fitting to end this year, not so much on what Christ has done for us, but in as much as who He is to us. As we celebrate communion, think of what Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, means to you, and what you will do to reflect Him well. Father, I thank you for this time that we've focused on your word, and I pray that we would be attentive to your Spirit's prompting as we enjoy the sacrament and celebration of communion. Prepare our hearts now as we sing. We're going to sing that last hymn in your, or last carol in your bulletin. As with gladness, men of old.